Blog Talk Radio.
Those of you that are listening by way of Blog Talk, amen, we want to welcome you to the broadcast. It's been quite some time since we've been on. And listen, if there's anybody out there that's listening to me, I want you to encourage people that cannot tune into the station or come by way of Periscope to call Blog Talk. And the number to call is area code 347-989. Can I get this right? 0113. That's area code 347-989-0113. So we're broadcasting on Blog Talk and also Periscope. You can view us on Periscope by just simply going there, amen, and viewing the broadcast. We're grateful for all of our viewers of Periscope. Let's invite some friends to join us as we talk today on the matter of praise and how not to lose your praise. And then all of our EXY listeners, we want to welcome you, all of you that are faithfully listening to the broadcasts every day. We want to welcome you to the broadcast on the day. I am so excited about Jesus Christ. Do you know that God, the Bible says that God loadeth us with daily benefits. He loadeth us with daily benefits. He loadeth us with daily benefits. And I just didn't know what that scripture details until I was at a need where I needed, you know, to be refilled and loaded with daily benefits. And then, you know, when I first read it, I'm thinking, well, God is going to bless me with some money. But I didn't know that God would rejuvenate your passion for the work of Christ. And he does this on a daily basis. You wonder why some people are still yet excited about preaching or excited about ministering or excited about working in the house of God. And it's like they wake up every week. They go through the same battles you do. But they wake up with a new joy, a new excitement every week. You want to know why? Because the scripture says he loaded us with daily benefits. Yeah, he loaded us with daily benefits. So every week, you know, I'm waking up every Sunday morning ready to go to church, ready to preach like it's my first time. On Monday, I'm waking up ready for the Monday night special and ready for the broadcasts. You know, I must preach about at least 15 times a week. And so, you know, I'm ready for this. I'm ready for this because God loadeth us with daily benefits. And so that's why I'm excited about the broadcast on the day, and I'm excited about what God is doing. Now, I need to give you some announcements before we go into the heart of the broadcast. And again, we want everyone to invite somebody to join us, amen, by way of Blog Talk by simply calling 347-989-0113. And then you can join us on Periscope, amen, and invite others to join in on this powerful time. And then those of you EXY listeners, at this point, we're broadcasting all over the world. I'm doing all I know to do to reach people from every state, every country, everywhere. We're doing all we do. So it's there. It's there. We have presented it. Well, we're broadcasting all over the world. So let's get together and make this happen by inviting others. All right, listen to me very carefully. Tomorrow night, Wednesday night, I am returning to the Gospel Arena Church. Sunday, we was there in fellowship with my father, and we had a great and powerful time. But tomorrow night, I am returning to the Gospel Arena, and God has put a word of faith in my mouth. I say in my mouth, in the subterranean chambers of my soul, God has put a power word, a word of faith. And I'm inviting all of our friends and followers to meet us there tomorrow night at 613 Northwest 3rd Avenue in the city of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Now, it's going to be exciting. We're going to hear a word, but joy is going to overtake the lives of people. I see people jumping and shouting. I see people receiving the word. But most of all, I see the word of faith penetrating those areas where people thought that they weren't going to make it. Those areas where people were getting from one place to another. I see the power of God falling. And this service was called by the apostle himself. It was confirmed by the apostle himself. And if you notice, he's doing strategic things, and he's doing some strange things that he normally doesn't do. I mean, I'm coming, you know, on this Wednesday night. You know, we're going to be there this week. Next week, Bishop Victor T. Curry from Miami, Florida, is going to be there. And he's going to be there on Thursday night. So there's some strange moves that the apostle is making, for there is a word of confirmation that's coming to the house. There's a word that God has for his people. And he hasn't stopped ministering since the time that he went in open heart surgery. I just want to say this before we get in the heart of the broadcast. He's been ministering ever since. So this is going to be a power time for you, amen, to meet me at the Gospel Arena. Can we put that up one more time? Listen, everybody, meet me at the Gospel Arena, 613 Northwest 3rd Avenue, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, tomorrow night. I want you to get ready for a miracle. Well, my name is Bishop Hurricane Johnson, and I want to talk to you about your praise. And what I want to deal with is, you know, I've been dealing with forgiveness, right? I've been telling you now, in order to have a praise that will be accepted, you must not have unforgiveness in your heart. Now, before I go into, just don't lose it. Don't lose your praise now. Don't lose it. You know, you need it to live. I want to just throw that in there. Don't lose your praise because you need it to live. Can we make a T-shirt out of that? You know, don't lose your praise because you need it to live. Don't lose your praise. You need it to live. Can I say that again? Don't lose your praise. Put it up now. Don't lose your praise. You need it to live. You're going to need that right there. If you don't need no money to live. Glory to God. You need praise to live more than anything. You need that to live more than your friends, more than your house, more than your job. You need that to live more than your house or your job or your money, your bank account, or your 401k plan. You need your praise to live more than anything. Don't lose it. But before I go there, let's talk about unforgiveness, all right? Unforgiveness is the result of an offense. We understand that. It's an offense. Unforgiveness is the result of an offense. It is the body. It is the body. You know, an offense comes to bring oughts, and oughts then form unforgiveness. So this don't just happen overnight. You don't have unforgiveness in your heart, you know, from a incident. It doesn't work like that. It ain't like someone do something to you, then all of a sudden you have unforgiveness in your heart. First of all, it starts in stages. When you are offended or offense have been committed against you, it is your choice then, at that moment, to hold the offense or let it go. You know, somebody walk by you and don't speak. It's your choice, you know, to let it go and say maybe they didn't see me or maybe they got some stuff on their mind, etc. But if you hold that what offended you, it becomes an ought. You know, in other words, you now have penalized them for not speaking. And then after the ought, if you hold it long enough, and it grows. It grows into unforgiveness. Now, unforgiveness sticks into multiple directions because unforgiveness is a door passage to hatred or resentment. See, anybody that got unforgiveness in their heart, it's very easy for them to resent someone. It's very easy for them to hate someone. It's very easy for them to dislike someone. Maybe I just say on unforgiveness today, right? If I don't get to don't lose your praise, you know, because that's what I headline it, and that's what I want to talk about, not losing your praise. But I believe that this direction that God is sending me is for me and you, our listeners. All right? So it starts with an offense. Now, offense don't have to be valid. You don't have to be, in other words, whatever a person does as you perceive don't have to be valid. It doesn't mean that they purposely did it. You know, you being offended has nothing to do with the other party. You know, it doesn't mean that they purposely did it. Offenses must come. That's what Jesus said. Offenses must come, but woe to them by whom the offense comes. Now, in other words, the person does the action, but you the one now that have made the action an offense. So now, when it comes, you have a choice to let it go. You can let that moment in time go and say, you know what, forget it. You know, I'm not gonna harbor on this. I'm not gonna feed into it. I see the argument coming. I'm not gonna feed into it. I see they got an attitude problem. I'm not going to feed into it. It's too many scriptures that tells me a soft answer turns away wrath. Are you listening to me? Don't try to make peace with an angry person. And what that means is, you know, all you can do now is just let it go. Let it go. Amen. If you do answer them softly and not just in tonality, you know, not just in volume, tonality, but in spirit. That's what he really saying. Have your spirit in such a humble way, because some people are ready for argument. They're ready for a fight. So when the offense is committed, it is up to you to leave it as an offense. It is up to you. Somebody walk by you and they don't speak, then it's up to you to take that as a defense. Somebody walk by you and they step on your shoe and then don't speak. That's up to you to leave that as an offense. I mean, it's all in your hand. It's up to you. You have the choice to do that. You have the choice. Thank you so much. You have the choice to do that. You can let it go or you can hold it. But I'm telling you, there's a danger in holding it. What you mean hold it? Well, when you start playing it out and making reason with it, you know, when you start playing it out and playing out their reason for doing it and making reason about, oh, they saw me. You know, that's just the devil, praise the Lord. And see, that's how it is. And then when you start reasoning with that stuff, then it becomes an alt. It settles in your heart. It settles in. And that's why the Bible tells you now, he says, anger but sin not. Anger but sin not. And then, you know, the Bible did say that, right? It did say that. Can I get a drink of water, y'all? That was good. It did say that. Anger but sin not. It did say that. But then you got to go to the next part. It said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, God ain't got time for us to be walking around here angry all day long. He don't have time for you to be walking around so angry and say, no, I don't want to be bothered. He don't have time for that. He says, anger but sin not. And then he said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, you can't afford to be around here mad too long. And the sun going down on your wrath, who knows what the interpretation of that is. In other words, don't let the day pass, okay? Don't you die with that in your heart. What about that one? What about that one? Don't you let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let the day pass. Don't you get in trouble. Don't you get in trouble. Don't you get knocked unconscious and then lie in the coma and then pass away. Don't you let nothing happen and then you leave here mad at everybody. So you have to be careful about things settling in your heart. If you think something is going to settle in your heart, amen, by way of an offense that you have to accept as an offense, then let it go. Because unsettled thoughts breed unforgiveness. And unforgiveness is you holding the person accountable to what they have done, and you want them, amen, to be punished for it. That's what it is. Unforgiveness is you need to be punished for what you did. What you mean? Well, I'm not going to let it go. I'm not going to pardon you. There's a punishment that is necessary. And that's where God stepped in and say, I cannot accept your praise. If you're trying to operate with unforgiveness, I cannot accept your praise because you're trying to do what I do. See, vengeance is mine, said the Lord, but you're trying to act as God. You're trying to do my job. What you mean? If you're not going to let a person go for what they did, woman, if you're not going to forgive your husband, sir, if you're not going to forgive your wife, then what you're saying is you want them punished for what they did. You know, they say, sorry, well, you know, you're saying it, but I don't believe you meant it. No, you want them punished. And God say, what you're doing now, you're doing my job. So I can't accept your praise. You giving me strange fires. And that's what the sons did of the prophet. They offered up strange fires. And the Bible said that they committed wickedness before God because they offered up strange fires. See, God was the one that started the fire, but they wanted to stop their own fire. You know, it was the improper worship. And some of us are giving God improper praise because we're trying to give God praise in the midst of unforgiveness. We're trying to play God, but we're trying to, you know, give him praise. Now, do you want to be me or you want to honor me? Which one? That's what God is saying. Do you want to be me or you want to honor me? Because anytime you hold unforgiveness in your heart, you're trying to be me. And you can't be me because besides me, there are no others. You know, so you got to want to honor God. And how you honor God is with a sacrifice that is not blemished. You know, The priest had to check the sacrifice when the people came before God to offer. I don't care if it was a turtle dove. I don't care if it was a ram or a sheep or a bullock. It was inspected, and it had to be without blemish. Do you know that the priest had to be without blemish? If something on you was wrong, you could not even be a priest because you had to be unblemished. You couldn't have a problem. Are you listening to me? And the sacrifice had to be without blemish. So here it is. Unforgiveness opened up the door to hatred. Unforgiveness opened up the door to resentment. And it's easier to resent somebody than to hate them, because hate is a bad word in our vocabulary. We can't accept that, but we can accept resentment. And see, the spirit of resentment will cause you, number one, to shun that person. You won't speak to that person. And then when you speak to them, you'll be very harsh with them. Are you listening to me? You won't follow them if they're your leader. You're certainly not going to respect them. That's what resentment. Resentment, amen, breeds disrespect. So you won't respect them. If they're your husband or wife, you're not going to honor them because you resent them. And that's the sign of unforgiveness, which comes from an alt, amen. The alt breeds from an offense. It's a progression. And that's where the devil wants to get us. In this progressive, he knows that you're not going to automatically, you know, somebody just walk by you and you just automatically start hating them. He knows you're not going to get to that point. You know too much of logic to do that. But if he can get you from stage to stage to grow in it and live with it, oh, you get there. You get there. Before you know it, you will hate them with a passion. And then hatred turns, amen, into jealousy because they see it here. And jealousy as cruel as the grave. And so you go through all of these, you know, dimensions and dynamics before you know it. You have so much in your heart against that person. And that's why God said, I can't accept praises because you've allowed unforgiveness to remain in your heart too long, too long. I don't know. Dangerous Nikki, do you have something that I can make an altar call with? Because I feel an altar call. Can we make an altar call right now? Because somebody don't feel like shouting. Somebody need to repent. We need to repent. They ain't in the shouting mood now. I felt that. I felt the shifting. They ain't in the shouting mood. Somebody need to just go to God and say, you know what, Lord, I've been treating this person wrong. I've been treating that person wrong. I wasn't going to even talk about this today. I wasn't going to talk about, you know, when I say don't lose your praise, we were going to shout a little while. We were going to praise God a little while. But then God had me on this right here, because if it's there, And I'm Bishop Hurricane Johnson. If it's there, I need to search it out. I can't walk around and effectively preach the word of God and got unforgiveness in my heart. I can't walk around and say that I'm saved. I can't walk around and fast every day and got unforgiveness in my heart. I made up in my mind I was going to boost up my walk with Christ this year. So if it calls for me to do more fasting, I don't have to tell everybody I'm fasting. I don't have to tell everybody I'm praying every hour. I don't have to tell nobody nothing at this point. But what good does it for me to do that, even if I don't brag about it, and yet have unforgiveness in my heart? What good is it? What good is it? You know, just don't do it. No, you don't take the easy way out and don't do it. No, what about just getting it out? What about telling God, Lord, I need you to help me get rid of this stuff that's in my heart? You're so worried about not backsliding with going out there getting on drugs and going out there drinking anymore and going out there going to the parties. And really, the devil ain't even fighting you about that because that's not effective. He's not going to fight you with stuff that's ineffective. He knows you're not going to go and get drunk. He knows that you're not going to go and get high. But then he saw a door opening. He knew that you were offended about something your husband did or your wife did or your brother or your mother, your sister, your cousin did, and now you have not, amen, let it go. Now the devil can operate from there. He don't care why and how he gets you to sin. He just wants you to transgress. That's all he wants you to do. So he don't care what the transgression is as long as he gets you to do it. Whoever you yield your members to, that's the person that you serve. That's your master. That's what the Bible says. Whoever you yield your members to. What you mean members? It's not just your hand. Whoever you yield your emotions to. whoever you yield your body to, whoever you yield your heart to, whoever you yield your mind to, that's who you serve. Listen to me very carefully out there. I believe this is the time for an altar call. For every person that are in the sound of my voice, if I didn't have to make the altar call, I'd be the first one to say, let me go to the altar. Just peradventure, I have something in my heart that I know is not there. Or I don't know it's there, rather. I don't want to walk around and try to perform the ritual of ministry, and then God is looking at me and say, yeah, I understand what you're doing. You may understand what you're doing, but did you know that you had something in your heart against that person? Did you know that? No, I didn't know that, Lord. You didn't take time to maintenance your heart. You didn't take time to tell me, go in, Lord, and search me. If you find anything, I feel worship now. If you, anybody want to worship with me, anybody want to worship God, if Lord, you search my heart, because I can't identify the stuff that's there, because it has been a part of me for so long until I am accustomed to feeling certain ways and being numb to it. I think about the person, but I don't feel nothing against the person. Well, you know, I'm judging that to say, well, I don't have a dislike. No, that don't mean nothing. If you're gauging your feeling on what's in your heart, then I'm telling you, you're madly deceived, because the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? You can't know it by your feelings. Lord, shine the light from heaven on my soul. And if you find anything that shouldn't be, take it out and straighten me. How can I tell my brother, how can I refuse my sister aid, glory to God, and say, well, I don't have. And God is saying, the reason why you told him you don't have is because there's something in your heart against them. How could you not call your mother? How could you not call your father? How could you not call your sibling and check up on them? When was the last time you heard from your brother? I ain't talked to him in about 6 months. How could, what are you doing? What happened? Why are you not going to church? Why are you staying home? Who are you mad at? Some of you are mad at God. Some of you are mad at the pastor. I want to make an altar call right now, because I feel like my time is going. Lord, I need you to look in my heart right now. I need you to search in my heart. I want everyone, when you get off the station, amen, if you get off the radio, when I get off the radio, when I get off a Periscope, when I get off a Blog Talk, and you don't hear my voice, I need you to do some more inventory and go to Psalms 51. Go to Psalms 51, and this is what it says. 4 minutes, he says, according to the multitude of thy loving kindness and thy tender mercy, hallelujah, blot out all of my transgression, remove all my sin. Lord, I need you to purge me with hyssop. I want you to pray with me right now, my remaining 3 minutes. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you in a humble way, the best way we know how. And we're asking you to forgive us of every sin that we've committed knowingly and unknowingly. But this is a special request. We need you to search our hearts. I need you to search my spirit. I need you to search me. Search me right now. And if you find anything, God, only you can get rid of it, because it has become a part of my character. It's become a part of my personality. This unforgiveness is so attached to me until I don't even know it's there. And I'm gauging how I feel, and because I don't feel nothing, I think that it's not there. I need you to step in right now. I need you to step in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Create in us a clean heart and renew the right spirit in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, thank you for joining me today. Thank you. I want you to read Psalms 51. Read it. Get it on the inside of your spirit. And when you come to that place where it says, Lord, men, glory to God, the bones that you have broken, and the only reason you broke them was to keep me from going further astray in my own righteousness. Nobody could tell me anything. No one could correct me, because my wisdom was too strong. But you had to break some bones. But God, mend the bones that thou hast broken, that I may hear the sound of gladness once again. Read that for me today. Listen, I didn't go the route that I thought I was going to go, but I pray that somebody is blessed by this. I pray that somebody will give ear to this. Remember to meet me at the Gospel Arena on tomorrow night. I got to go, right? Okay, I leave you with these words. Hope need not die, because...